skeptic among believers and the believer among skeptics.
Are you a good witch or a bad witch?
Who are the witches?
Magic, necromancy, and witchcraft.
Wake up! They're all about you! All around you!
They're not always evil.
The often erotic world of the witch.
The journalist with an inside knowledge of witchcraft.
It's a sex thing deep down, of course.
Hey everybody, welcome to Into the Dark, the show that takes you every witchy where and when you've ever wondered about. We've got a great first show for you today. I interviewed Jonathan Phelps, a filmmaker at Muckraker Films, about his occult meditation practices. And basically that interview is going to take up the whole show, and so we're just going to start it right now.
One of the first things that you and I talked about when we first met was your meditation practice. Mm-hmm. So let's just—I mean, what got you into meditation? Like, was it a goal-oriented thing? Was it experimentation?
Well, let's start it out like this. Like, okay, so I'm this filmmaker artist, and I've kind of always been an experimenter in the source of trying to like figure out how the universe works, as we all are. And I've always been interested in the unconscious mind, so dreams, and how. Mostly dreams originally, because that's something that we all kind of get as a jump starter, you know, being familiar with the unconscious mind and getting stories, getting insights from another world or from another place, and so you know, I was always writing down my dreams and journals, you know, as an artist trying to keep track of that stuff, and then. Meditation, of course, came along the way probably in around 2011, so it wasn't even that long ago. 2010, 2011, as a filmmaker, I also do VJ shows, so I do live visuals for bands, and that's kind of interesting because it's like, so I need to like download the internet, so to speak, or at least like get all these images, maybe, at least that's the way I did it. So I'm just like, you know, just like any other research, and I start just finding things that I might not have come across otherwise, which is funny because it's almost, you know, so many times I have been like watching documentaries or reading books and all this, but like, okay, so I'm just like randomly downloading stuff and I come across hypnosis and I come across meditation and I come across, you know, some other kind of like serious meditative things, and I end up like getting turned on to an initiatory kind of guided meditation that sends me, because I go through with it, you know, I close my eyes and I get into it, and they kind of, you know, the guide invokes like the four archangels and all this, and I literally like blast off into outer space. Like I see myself like dissolve into like particles and like get sucked through this like crystal grid or this kind of like sieve or something, and then I appear before this alligator with alligator hands or alligator heads for hands and feet, and he rises out of the muck, and there's this tower coming out of the muck, and it's rising too. And I go to the top of the tower, and there's this big marble lookout kind of flat plateau, and I'm standing up there, and there's this girl on a flying bike, like laughing, like a futuristic vehicle, and she's laughing, like, and I could only take like she's laughing because like I made it here, and like she's kind of like my, not a soulmate, but something like that. She's like part of me, or like, and or like an old friend, and and then the next thing you know, I'm in this tunnel, and I'm a worm, and there's a worm flying next to me. And then, like, the worm next to me transforms into, like, this other beast creature, and then another, and then a lobster. And then all of a sudden I realize, like, we're all these, you know, that this was her again. And we're, like, we've been all these things, maybe. And then, like, I get sucked back in through, you know, I turn to dust or something, and the dust flies away, And I come back into my room, and there's like kind of like tears in my eyes, and I'm like, wow, that was like the trippiest thing I've ever felt, and like it's just so amazing, you know. I literally felt like I had gone to another dimension and saw really amazing insights, and that was just me sitting at my computer, not doing any drugs or any meditate, you know, any there was no preparation to that.
So this guided meditation, you just found this on the internet?
I found it by chance, really. And there's a guy, now that guy, he's pretty cool. He's like a young kid. I think his name is Shaktipa Seer 2, because I think they took away his first... they deleted Shaktipa Seer 1 on the internet. So now Shaktipa is cool, because Shakti... I guess it means, you know, it's a transference of psychic energy. Shaktipa. And so that already, you know, was fascinating to me. And I didn't really follow him too much, you know. I honestly, though, what it goes to show is, you know, right now, the you know, is the best thing that the internet and technology and living in this time as a tool has for us is the fact that, you know, we have the access to the Library of Alexandria and beyond right now. You know, everybody, even from, like, some guy in the middle of nowhere who doesn't really talk to anybody but has a blog online, you have access to. So I think it's important to not turn your back on, you know, even the oddest insights, or maybe the insight that you might not necessarily agree with. So, like, I've come to find that I like to be open-minded to any of the anything. And that allows me to maybe put the pieces together later, you know, because I think trusting anything is also very problem. You know, everything would be problematic as well. But being open-minded about it is a big thing, and I think something that most people don't necessarily do. And it's important for us to share our insights, because I think, you know, be it with, you know, there's always we're always going to be living in a time, or maybe not, but, like, there's always going to be things going on that we need to deal with, and we need each other's voices to get through it, you know, because not one person has the answers. They have the answers, but, you know, we need everybody's answers, and I think that we can figure it out. I don't know.
So once you sort of, so you had this initial experience, it was super trippy, but also it felt very meaningful, it felt very significant. Mm-hmm. Where did you go from there?
Well, that's, you know, that so I started to, you know, watch a lot of meditations, guided meditation, try different things, learn how the chakras work, learn how meditation works, and, you know, and slowly the pieces started coming together. You know, at first I started doing more, like, guided meditations, but, like, once I learned about the, you know, like, I learned about the chakras, which was important, because I started to get into, like, Kundalini meditation and, you know, middle pillar meditation, which is, like, you know, Western, you know, Kabbalistic, basically the same stuff that they were doing in the East with Kundalini. Or it's different, but it's very similar in the same times. I mean, the chakras versus the sephirai, obviously, you know, they say that you shouldn't really mix those things, and both are very powerful, and both are, you know, very not to be taken lightly. And that's one of the things why I think was important to start doing, you know, understanding the chakras, understanding where the energy is flowing and stuff, because if you're kind of, like, invoking these powers that are within you, turning yourself on, basically having, like, another, I would say, what is it, like, puberty. It's almost like a psychic puberty, where your body is changing, you know, and you're rewiring yourself. So it was really important to understand what I was doing. And that's why they, you know, if you go online and you start reading about, like, Kundalini, you know, they say, you know, you shouldn't just do it, because you could just go crazy, or, like, maybe get sick, or, you know, hurt yourself. And I didn't really understand that at first. And I still think that it shouldn't be, I think that we should all, you know, able to partake in these things, and I think it's natural for us to do so. Everybody is on their own journey, everybody's in their own place, so not everybody might be ready to jump into certain things, but I think that we're built to do it, and it's a matter of not, you know, not everybody has, not everybody has, we haven't been pushed to go in that direction as a culture, so it's scary it's different. And for that matter, like, when I started doing it, like, a couple years later after starting the meditation, you know, I quit a lot of things, and I changed a lot of lifestyle things. And it's not that I've become a different person, like, specifically from meditation, because I've always been, you know, putting all my energy into trying to figure this stuff out. I think that a lot of what came out of it is me being freed from a certain sense of despair, because I think that I understand more so, like, what, you know, like, how to deal with this thing, which is life, in a way that I'm not just at the whim of it, and I have just more perspective and control over it.
When you talk about control, you mentioned that you're really into ritual. Are you mostly sort of using other people's rituals, or like sort of received rituals from different traditions, or are you creating your own rituals? And how do you use them?
Well, I guess I think that it's important to listen to yourself. You know, I don't think that anybody. I think that it's also important to see what's been done and what's out there, because it does work. These ancient tools and ideas are. It's amazing that this stuff has been passed down. You know, everything from, you know, like tarot and astrology and ceremonial magic. And everything involved, these are things that have been passed down, and people that use them don't even understand them entirely, or maybe they do, but they work on so many different levels and layers. That's an interesting thing to talk about in general, the idea of like what meaning can you derive from something, and there's always multiple layers of meaning. Onion layers of meaning, and that's something that I think we forget sometimes. You know, there's always subtext, and there's subtext within subtext, and that, you know, it's in mirrors within mirrors. And you know, think like ritualistically, as an artist, as a magician, I think that I more so lean to creative ends. You know, I'm an artist, I make things, but I give thanks, and I think giving thanks is key. If you were to go into a meditation, or not, if you're just to give thanks, but if you were to go into a meditation and give thanks to the Mother Earth and to Father Sky, for example, I mean, these are the divine masculine and feminine energies. But what is to really give thanks? You know, you're to understand them. It's understanding. So you're looking at, you know, you're seeing the Earth. You're knowing that the Earth exists, and all of the things that it involves, and all that took place for it to evolve. And you're being thankful for that. I mean, that's something that you can't just take for granted. And as far as the stars and all that is encompassed in the universe, it's like that is the mind of the universe. You know, that is all, that is everything that has ever been and ever will be. You know, these are very powerful things. And why not, you know? But when you give thanks, that comes back to you. That's a very powerful prayer. That's a very powerful just, you know, activity. And it's something that, you know, we need to do. And there's multiple, that's just an example, though. I mean, okay. There's lots of things that, yeah. You know, as far as my, the way, you know, like in meditation, and the other things that I do, like water, I only at this point try to drink spring water, because I figure, you know, we're 90% water, and there's talk, you know, they say New York water is the cleanest water, and you know, but you know, it's clean, all right. It might be a little too clean, you know. I mean, they use chemicals to clean it, you know, and it's like those things your body has to process. And if I'm 90% water, that's a lot of processing that I'm putting in my body. So like when I quit drinking, which was kind of just like, it just became like almost like a life or death thing, where it's like my brain couldn't really handle drinking and meditating the way I was. Like it was like, I and for a year I had these kind of pressure headaches, and I was seeing sparkles around everything, which was great. And I still see that kind of thing, you know. And I think that like, if you ever have a night and you're up a late night, you might kind of start to see like almost like little particles around everything.
Yeah, I've had situations like that. I was going to ask, so we talked about, I think, this period in your life briefly before, where you were having the pressure headaches and you had to quit drinking, and the way you articulated it to me, I think, at that point, was you sort of had to feel like you had to choose between meditation and drinking, because both at the same time were too much, but at the time you were also, I think, you created a tool for your meditation practice.
Well, I have a bunch of tools. I mean, specifically, I think you're talking about, okay, so I use crystals, and I get really excited about crystals, and I know, because one of the first things, you know, crystals are really popular in magic and esoteric circles, but I totally, you know, believe in them, and they work, because if I take a crystal in my hand and I orbit it around my head, I'll start to feel and hear little crackling sounds, like if you you know, exercise your neck. You kind of hear your spine kind of picking and panging. And if I take a crystal and I orbit it around my head, you know, I'll almost feel my third eye following it, and it kind of, you know, stretching out. So I started to use crystals in meditation right away in a way to kind of start to exercise the brain before going into the meditation, and it also altered the kind of state of pressure. In some respects, it would kind of initiate the pressure. So the pressure was something that I was getting in tune with and in touch with, and also that kind of came along with almost like a ringing, everything just kind of going to this higher vibratory state, which is like what the goal is in a way.
Yeah.
The higher vibratory states can be attained from like sex, from like being a rock star, getting up on stage, from making art, from having fun, from having a great time. These higher vibrational states are like what it's all about.
Yeah.
So meditation in part is a way of trying to like maintain that high, a good high, not a high to get high on and be like, oh, I feel great. But you will feel good, but a high to be like, you know, to carry with you and to be able to make all things in your life, you know, better.
A kind of ecstasy.
An ecstasy, but it's more like how we're supposed to live, in my opinion. Mm. You know, because we can do more, we can think better. And so that's why I think, you know, another reason why it's natural is important. So anyway, so crystals, you know, I found this one great crystal on Fire Island, which I have, and that's really the main one I use. It was taken from the sea, so it's like polished and wonderful. So I use that mostly. But I built this crystal helmet. So it's like this big bowl, and it's filled with crystals, and it hangs from a disco ball motor. And it can sit, you know, it spins around your head while you're meditating. And I did a performance, like live with like projections behind me or whatever. And I wore the thing in front of people, and people joined in and meditated. And I had my eyes blindfolded and everything, so I was kind of like completely oblivious to what was going on. But I was told that people actually joined in and stuff. But like I've used the crystal helmet. I got excited about the crystal helmet because I'm like, oh wow, you know, I use these crystals and these work. You know, and it's like, and I love orbiting them around my head, and I feel like it's all, you know, it's like a mini moon, you know, it's like we know our unconscious mind knows when the, you know, what the stars in the heavens are doing. I might not know, but I can maybe ask or find out, or maybe you wake up at 6 a.m. every day, and that's your unconscious knowing, but it's like a smaller version of that, where it's like, if I'm orbiting this around my head, my brain's like, oh, something heavy's there, like, is it going to hurt me, or... you know, and part of it is like crystals are dense, they're pressure dense, which creates a piezoelectric, I think I'm saying that correctly, energy, which they use in like quartz watches and stuff.
Okay, yeah, like quartz transistors and stuff like that.
I think the idea of like the molecular structure of crystals is so such that it's comparable to an energy center. It's like a mini star, just like the energy centers of your body, which are the chakras. Chakra means wheel, and these are all different spinning forms, orbiting forms. Each chakra, much like the sephirai, represents a different kind of element of our needs, of our wants, of our desires. Our heart chakra is more in tune with love. Compassion, you know, which makes sense. That's why we say think with your heart. The throat chakra is your voice. It's your creative form, you know, and that's that's something that's really important. There's nothing wrong with having a voice. We have things that we need to say, although to be the only one saying anything would be a problem. Balance is key in all, and we don't need to go on about all the chakras, but each one, you know, your stomach tells you you are hungry, you need to eat food, or your sexual drive. These are all different, like, these are all you. We're made up of lots of different things, whatever. But, like, you know, these are things that we need to get in touch with, and balance is key in it and everything. So where are we going here? So, I mean, there's a lot of different, as far as practice, I mean, there's a difference between ritual and... Maybe. I mean, and just practice, you know, like, so for a while I was doing sun water. So I was like, I was taking the spring water and I was putting in the glass jars and I put them on the windowsill and I let them sit there for a couple hours before drinking that because I was really excited about the sun.
Yeah.
And that brings me into the idea of like sun worship, more importantly, sun, getting sun, you know, not necessarily going all the way in with sun gazing, but it's important. It's another element. It's another... Because the thing is the pineal gland, the third eye, more so. Actually, that can be misunderstood because the third eye, I think, is actually the pineal gland and the pituitary gland having an interaction, much like you were talking about with the filament.
Yeah.
So there's actually almost a masculine-feminine energy happening in there. and there's when it's active. But the pineal gland, which is it's a light sensitive organ. So like if you were to close your eyes and look at the sun and get the sun that way, you know, especially the first hour and the last hour of the day, the sun is really good for you because it has to pass through more of the atmosphere. It goes across where the, you know, so it's going through more of a lens.
Yeah.
And it's just, there's less UV, there's less bad UV energy or whatever it is. And it's just better to get, you know, to get sun in that time. And I have, you know, in my own experience, like there was a period of time again that I was probably trying to watch the sunset and or rise like every day for about somewhere between 6 months and a year. I don't really know. And I do that from time to time, but for a while I was really all about it. And you will start to have more of that psychic energy. The thing is that every time, like if I close my eyes, especially if I put my hands over my eyes, you immediately, the pineal gland goes into action. I mean, it depends on where you're at, but like you'll start to see stuff. You'll start to hallucinate or whatever you want. What is that? You know, you'll start to imagine things. You'll start to see things. And those are the two worlds. You know, we live in the physical world, and we also live in the spiritual world. You open your eyes, you see the physical world. You close your eyes, you see the spiritual world. We walk between these worlds all day, every day. Now, they're both just as important. Things like, you know, getting, you know, sunlight, that will actually give your body the chemicals or the tools that it needs to, you know, to create, you know, like DMT so that you can, for example, so that you can work. You know, so you can function, so you can be a human being. It's just stuff that people don't really talk about. And things like fluoride, you know, things like in the water, you know, I've got a filter on my shower head that's supposed to filter out stuff, and I drink spring water. So I'm like really trying, you know, I'm really like kind of, you know, they talk about water not being clean. I'm like, I don't know if there's clean. We should have, I mean, if the world like pumped like spring water out of these faucets, I mean, I think that like we would be in a different, you know, that's the future. You know, I think that's a big part of our health anyway.
I've heard people claim that water fluoridation has psychological effects of various kinds. Believe that? Have you heard that?
I've argued with the dentist about it even. I because I'm really curious about it. And as far as I'm concerned, like I don't even. That puts shaky ground for me in the dentist. Although I'll still go to the dentist once in a while. But like fluoride is supposedly a mind control drug. So what is it? And it was created by the Nazis or something in World War II. The truth of the matter is that fluoride supposedly, and I come to believe it, calcifies the pineal gland. So basically, it builds up on stuff. It builds up on your bones. It makes your bones stronger. But the thing is, actually, it will make your bones brittle. It'll make your teeth strong. But it can be bad for our bones, and it can be bad for our pineal gland, for example, which is our imagination center. So if you can imagine just a small residue building up on something that basically is your connection to this other world, half of what we have been given as a being of as a living being, it's like and so much for the creative world and just thinking outside of the box, you know, listening to that which is other than anything else.
Yeah.
And so if you're cutting yourself off from that, that's, you know, sure, you can live a whole life and have kids and everything like that.
Yeah.
But what life is that?
Exactly.
I don't know. So it's a limitation. And I think that, like, it, you know, the fact that it's still in the water, it's not in Europe. Most of Europe, I think they banned fluoride. In America, of course, we still have fluoride in our water.
Yeah.
And they just say it's good for your teeth. Why should I be cleaning my teeth every time I'm kind of thirsty? Why should I be, you know, it don't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
If they want to give me some medicine that I'm supposed to take every day, fine. But I don't want it in my water.
Yeah.
Water, you know, we're water. I remember, and I don't really want to go on too much into, like, the kind of, the darker, I think, because I like to think,
the whole David Icke stuff.
Well, I'm open to listening to everything. I just don't want to, I don't want to grill into one specific, you know, specifically, like, fear. You know, I think fear is the one thing that's going to hold us a little back, you know, and when it comes down to it, we have to be, aware, conscious, like listening, and, you know, maybe so we can turn our, you know, say, well, I don't want to do that, but at the same, but I shouldn't like let it, bring anxiety because it's going to slow me down.
Yeah.
I just don't want to go into that too deeply, you know, cause it can be scary. And I think it's a big turnoff to start talking about, oh, you should be worried about this and you should be worried about that. Honestly, they're all tools. The more you know, the better you're off.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, one thing at a time. You know, what, you know.
Fear is the mind killer.
It is. It really is. And for that matter, it's like, well, how do I get away from that? How do I? And that's what, like, even in Buddhist, the idea of, like, you know, this kind of escape from suffering does start to make a lot of sense and get really exciting when we're, you know, what. And I think a lot of it has to do with rising to the occasion and being, you know, whom, you know, you need to be. Everyone is perfect. Everyone is exactly where they need to be. But we can all be better. We can all be better versions of ourselves. And, like, when, if we can, we're all, including myself, on autopilot. And I want to change the, you know, the conversation a little bit right now because it would be a good time to do so. Sure. So, like, the idea of the crossroads, you know, we are all at the crossroads every single millisecond that we're alive, but the crossroads is like a hallway, and the hallway is like the universe. You can look down the hallway, and there's and the thing is that we're really good at being, you're really good at being Cooper, I'm really good at being John, and so-and-so listening to this is really good at being so-and-so.
Yeah.
And it's fun to be so-and-so, but at the same time, like, how could, you know, that's the trick. Is that if you can actually not just be you, because being you is auto, you know, what can you be better than that you? So, like, in any moment, like, what should you do? Now, you don't need the weight of the world on your shoulders in every moment, but at the same time, because I don't think that is the best, that is that the best thing that you can do? Probably not. I think that you can enjoy, you know, this, that, and whatever, and make a better decision and be a better person. And it's the little things, like the butterfly effect, that does change the world. And in that way, if you can get hip to that, if you can just, you know, like, well, what, you know, why not be a better person? Why not reach out and help someone, or just be friendly, or for that matter, like, just, you know, I don't know, I don't have all the answers, but, like, there's a lot of people out there, and the more that we can do that, the more that we're awake, the more that we're tuning in to be, you know, that's the ultimate reality, or that's like a gate to more of an ultimate reality, where we are being more different facets of this kind of Godhead, and we can enjoy life and also maybe preserve the planet for a little while in that, you know, with that state of mind. And I think the thing, yeah, and in the, you know, it's like, you know, your life goes and then you die maybe, and then it's like and what are you going to say at the end of the day? It's like, well, I did it. Or, you know, it's like, why not do it? You know, what do you really want to do? And, like, what, you know, and I don't have the answers for that, but you do. And that's the thing. No, you know, if you're seeking a guru, that's fine, because there's people out there who have a lot of answers. But at the same time, you are always your best guru, because you have the answers. It's your journey. We're all on a spiritual journey, whether you like it or not. And you have to do the work. It's the problem with religion. Not just because religion is good, because people are seeking spirituality. But the problem with religion, a lot of time, the priest, or the rabbi, or the guru, or whatever it is sometimes, not always, but a lot of times, they're like the guardian at the gate of enlightenment, because they're saying, this is what it's all about, and I did the work, and you got to sign this form, and that's that. Instead of being like, going in there and trying to figure something out, yeah. Trying to learn. You know, we learn more from our mistakes than we do from the things that we're patted on our back for.
Yeah.
So it's important for us to make mistakes. Now, that can be taken in different ways, and I don't mean to go out and make a bunch of mistakes, but it's important to try things. Like, if I try to make a movie and it don't come out so good, or at least it doesn't, maybe it's not received as well as I would have liked, then, okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
You know, now I know, and maybe I know what I didn't do quite right, and I can make a better one now.
Yeah.
So it's important to at least take the chances.
Yeah,
and also, you know, what were you going to say?
Oh, I was just saying, like, you don't learn much being on the sort of straight is the way and narrow is the gate kind of mindset. So you talk about, so you make movies, you've made a lot of visual art of various kinds. I mean, like, you can't see it now, person listening on the radio, but, like, we're sitting in rooms surrounded by art, much of which John himself has either made by himself or in collaboration with other artists. How much is there a relationship between the spiritual work you're doing and the art you're making? Like, is any of this art, like, because, like, that, so when you led that meditation with the helmet, blindfolded with the audience,
yeah.
was that, did that feel performative? Did that feel like joining in a ritual? Did it feel like a mixture of the two?
Well, that was particularly more of, like, a ritualistic performance art piece, and I've done some performance art and I've done stage, and I do a lot of stuff on stage. Most of my stage stuff is more, it's more visuals with a band. What I like about that, though, is that, like, that hasn't been even brought to the table as much. Like, yeah, you'll see visuals. I mean, when I do visuals, and I want to get back into this, and I'm kind of going up and said, but when I do visuals, you know, I basically edit live music videos, so I'll have, you know, I have, like, a camera in one hand and a MIDI keyboard in the other, I've pre-made this stuff, so I edit the song live, and I can cut to the band, and I do all this stuff. What I would love to it is I'm raising the energy, you know, and I do this very, like, kinetic stuff. So, like, if it's a good band, like, the main band I work with right now is the Starlight Girls, and they, you know, a lot of their music is, you know, kind of pushing into this kind of, like, psychedelia, going, you know, kind of maybe tapping into this other world. And also, it's a lot of fun. But I love being able to kind of, like, just add this energy to it. And the way, and where we are kind of get, you know, we're all getting high through experience in something hopefully we've never seen before, and being like, wow. And, like, the more that we can add that to people's palate or tastes, you know, the better, because we're just getting people, we're inspiring people, and that's what we need to do, you know, because we're like, don't forget how fucking awesome this is,
right?
And blah blah blah. As far as my art goes, I you know, and that's why it's so easy. You don't have to talk about the big stuff to get at it.
Yeah,
you know, you can make stuff that's inspiring and people, and that's it, you know. But, like, as far as, like, a lot of my art, a lot of my stories, I'm trying to paint a portrait of, I'm trying to document the fantastic, you know, I'm trying to figure out. So, like, my visual, like, as far as, like, if you go to the drawing board, I do this stuff called the ghost books, for one. The ghost books are, I have probably 130 notebooks that I've filled and finished, front to back, of drawings, paintings, collage stuff, all script. But most of the time what I'll do is I'll just sit down, I'll be meditating, if I'm meditating, it's kind of like I'll do the blindfold and I'll go back and forth between, like, almost like remote viewing, where I'll have a visual experience and then I'll draw, and then sometimes I do that, and sometimes I'll just draw. And I mean, part of it is, like, if you know, they say that, like, the first. And then some of the work is really fast, because it's like, if you want to, like, tap into kind of like the it's like Jack Kerouac, On the Road, when he wrote that, he had a typewriter with a roll attached to it so that he could not stop. So he didn't have to refill in the piece, the sheet. He had just had this huge roll, which is just the coolest thing.
Yeah.
Because even still, I think that's better than a computer, because a computer, you're going to keep going back and fixing everything you wrote. So you're stopping your brain from thinking. Instead of just typing, we'll worry about fixing all that stuff later, you know. And I think that's similar with drawing. Drawing is also a fascinating word, because drawing is a word that we've come to learn is just pushing ink around or pushing graphite around. But really, what is to draw mean? To draw is to draw out, to channel, really,
yeah,
of the void. So it's like to draw, and that's really exciting. So it's like all artists are magical in that way. But for that matter, everybody's magic. Everybody's magic. But it's like the creative act is one of the most exciting things you can do artistically and magically, because you are having this conversation with who knows, you know, with the all or with yourself, and you're constantly, you know, discovering things and learning things. And so as far as my films go, a lot of my ideas, you know, a lot of even music videos and stuff that I mean will be, like, inspired by this dream or this this vision, and I'll try to bring that stuff in and get that stuff up there, because I'm trying to bring new things to the table. Like Earth Revisited, with this animation piece that I made last year, and it with Shear Lieberman, this other animator, and I wrote the whole thing out, and it was all from meditative experience. I literally just sat there and wrote storyboard frame by storyboard frame, in a meditative state with a blindfold and everything, and you know, I find that is a really good way to do it, because it's kind of like, that was not.
So you wrote this film.
Yeah, I mean, it's an experimental short animation piece, but I guess I just bring it up because I was trying to tell the story of the spirits within the universe, whatever that means. So I guess we kind of see, you know, a kind of we see the universe forming, and we see elements of spirit, you know, introduced into the world, and it's an interesting piece. I mean, I got really excited about it, technique, and I don't know. I guess I just bring it up because it's one of the few pieces that I literally just sat down, and wrote out in that way, in more or less one or two sittings, I guess. But it's been in all my work, and even year, you know, I think years ago before I started meditating, I was doing all this, but more so through dream. And it's funny because I used to be a little bit better at documenting my dreams, but I think that we always have different, we shouldn't be turned off by too concerned with our impermanence or like our bodies change in phases. Sometimes you're better at doing things like sometimes in meditation you'll get no vision and you can't be turned off by that. Yeah. You know, just keep, you know, the more you do it, the more that you'll have the possibility of that happening. But sometimes you're just more in tune with stuff and you're meant to see something. And I lost my train of thought. But
it sounds like a lot of your journey has been like collaborative in certain realms, but mm-hmm. also very personal, very sort of like you're pulling at things and trying to figure out how to be the best John you can be, but also allowing yourself to transition into like a series of Johns, in a way.
Okay.
But how has this affected your relationship with other people, just sort of generally, like around you, like, and I mean, like a day to day kind of basis.
Well, I think I'm still the same person. I mean, in other respects, I think that people who get it are more, you know, I think that they're like, oh, you know, we like what's going on with this guy. You know, I think that because I have because I think that like I have made changes that I didn't like about myself, and I think I have more to bring to the table. I think more helpful things that I can bring to the table. But I think that I've always been, but I think that like I think I could get more angry, and I still get before.
Oh, I see.
I don't get as angry now, but I still get angry. But I remind myself, because we all do, and I remind myself that it's not gonna help. It's not gonna, because it never does. Yeah. The only thing that getting angry does is it hurts yourself.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and that's a funny thing about the world. And that's the thing about magic. It's really psychology. I mean, it's there to help us. It's there to heal us. You know. And it's just another tool. And everybody does it, whether they know it or not, in some way or another. But you know, we all get addicted to the things we don't like.
Ooh, expand on that. That's really cool.
Well, the thing is that like, so the, you know, things that you didn't do right, things that you, people you don't like, people that you've had problems with, things you know, oh, what do I got to do tomorrow? Or even just like, oh, you know, this, you know, everything we hate, we feedback loop in our brains over and over and over again. And we don't let it go. Meditation is all about letting go. But it's not just that. But letting go will, if you can just let that stuff go, if you can stop going over this thing that's bothered you, that's been bothering you, that you can't do anything about. If there's something you can't do, if you can't physically just solve the problem, get up and solve it, if you can, but if you can't, you gotta let it go. Because it's just, and then you can use your brain all of a sudden for other things. This is good, crossroads stuff, you know, like, yeah. Just let this stuff go, and then you'll, all of a sudden you have your whole life, you can do new stuff instead of bother, all wrapped up. And that's the thing, like, so many people have problems because that ail them throughout the day or throughout their lives, because you drive yourself crazy. And yeah, I mean, the more angry you get, the only thing you're going to do is become a god in your own hell, flying around, you know. There's nothing you can do by just getting angry. Or even if you act out angrily, that you're just hurting yourself.
Yeah.
You know? Even if you did hurt someone else, you're, you know, that's just going to come back to you. So there's nothing that you can do. And honestly, you know, we are all different facets of the same thing. So really, like, anybody that's bothered you, it's like, that's, you know, I mean, they're you too, in a way. I mean, we're all connected in that way. So it's like, there's no reason to hurt, you know, really. And that's the thing when it comes to like the bigger issues, is it's like anybody who thinks that they've got the one up, I'm better than other people, I'm, you know, I'm, you know, like, world, you know, any, like, if there is someone out there who is ready to take from other people, they're only taken from themselves, and they're limited to their own growth, and so we need to reach out and help each other, even people that we don't to get along with, and that would be the best way of doing it, you know. But the we don't have time for war, you know. We have to solve all these problems right now.
Right. Well, that reminds me of thing you said, I think, before we actually started recording, which is that the universe likes collaboration. The universe rewards, or universe, magic rewards collaboration, something like
and
that.
And the universe is collaboration. I mean, life itself is the fusion of two things coming together. And the universe loves it when we collaborate. I think naturally, like, if two people come together and make something that's never been made before, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's never existed before. And it wasn't just me. It was two people coming together. And you know, and I think that, like, there's an element. I think all these elements are important. They're like cookie crumbs. You know, I love the idea of, like, I'm a co-collaborator with the universe. The universe is having a conversation with me in my spiritual mind, in my inner world, and also a conversation with me in the physical world. Now, that's a part of this journey, but it's like, how far do you want to take that? You know, and also, like, let's get everybody, let's get the Goonies together here. Let's get everybody involved and figure this thing out. You know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Yeah, I mean...
Sorry, no one's brought up the Goonies in a long time. For me, personally. And I was a big fan of, like, there are moments where, like, I hear, what was his name, Chunk? Screaming, "Hey, you guys," just in my head, that home. Anyway. Well, it's interesting, too.
I had
like,
to. If I had to bring it up, I guess.
I mean, there are seminal work in American culture. But if, so I suppose then, if we're all also just aspects of one shared, some sort of larger meta being, then the more of us come together, the more of that being is concentrated in whatever act we're doing, unless I'm misreading.
I guess it's just a matter, I don't know how I would describe it, you know. I think that it's kind of like everybody, I believe that I, a being, am a receiver of the transmission that is this place and time.
Mm.
So when I meditate, I tune out this world and suddenly I can tune into other things. So everybody that's alive or has ever existed they're tuning in to this world from a certain soul's journey and need and perspective. So everybody's kind of like, arguably, you know, I mean, this would be where I would lean towards is, you know, we are where we need to be, whatever that means. And we're going to be somewhere else next year or in our next life or whatever it is. Who's to say? But as far as our own, I don't know. I don't think it's so cut and dry as like, oh, with our powers combined. No, I think it's more like, it's not pre-designed, you know? It's like, I didn't know that so-and-so was going to come into my life, and maybe no one did. This person in our collaboration, our magic, is new. We're creating new universes here by doing that. You know? And in that way, like, we're creating this universe here. We are co-creating this universe. My actions, no matter what, how small they may be, if the butterfly effect of that will affect the world in some way or another. And the more of that, the better, especially the more that you can actually maybe make a helpful footprint. And so, you know, it's extraordinarily magical in that way. Whereas it's like you bring a few people together, I would argue that there is a certain, you know, things do fall into place though, you know, there are things do kind of have a certain kind of rhyme or reason and you know, and I do come to find a lot of times maybe the people that you might have that might be in your life, I feel like you almost have a certain kind of, you remember them, in some way or another, like almost like you almost have deja vu about people that you get along really well, or like that you just met. And I think, you know, it's like you may very well have, you know, had a relationship with these people in another life.
When you think of like having the possibility of having relationships with people across different lives, is that a chronological thing in your mind, or is that sort of like a almost like a dimensional thing?
I guess it would be both, you know. You know, it's funny, because as a kid, I it is interesting, because here, and as a kid, I didn't meditate. But at the same time, you don't need to, because as a kid, you got all the answers. I mean, in the sense that you know that the universe, you have a better sense of perspective. I'm not just in this human-man world, this man-made world.
Yeah.
I feel like you're more connected with the all, in the imagination world, you know, and you're... Wow, I'm kind of, like, not answering your question at all.
This is still interesting.
But, like, I can't even remember what the question was. Yeah, so it's like, are interconnections with different people, is it chronological? Yeah, I mean, that's a hard question for me to answer. I really don't know. I mean, I feel like, I guess what I was going to say is, as a kid, I would imagine reincarnation to be more like not going to happen in very soon. Like, maybe reincarnation will happen 100,000 billion years.
Okay.
Come back.
Okay.
It ain't gonna be anything, but I don't know. You know, so this is me as a kid, but see, that was more like just auto thought, you know? It's just like, I'm not gonna be like a butterfly tomorrow. But, like, probably will be exactly where I am today in 100,000 billion years. And I'll be John again, sitting here having a conversation with you.
Huh. So, like, the universe itself sort of self-replicates.
I think, but it's kind of like the universe is so damn big, there's so many stars, eventually there's going to be things that kind of come back into play, and it might not be exactly the same, and I think that's where free will comes in. I think that we've done this before, and we can do it better, and we're going to do it better. And that's part of the learning process. Now, I don't know if that's true, but I feel like... There's a lot, you know, I think there's a little truth to everything, and who knows how it needs to work. I think people that have all the answers are, again, somewhat, that can be a problem too, you know?
Yeah.
Who's to say? But I, again, intuition is very important, because that's where we get answers.
Yeah.
So maybe there's some legitimacy to that. Yeah. One thing that I'd like to go into that I got really excited about is astrology. And that's something that's funny, because I never really looked into it too much, but what gets me really excited about that, and that's something more so I came across more recently, is astrology as a part, as a manual to being a human and the cycle within for the universe as well as man, like the astrology man. So you take the astrological symbols, and there's, if you've seen the image of astrology man, so it's basically the astrological symbols inside the human body.
Oh, sort of like linking up to specific parts of the body.
Much like the chakra systems,
okay.
But with the astrological archetypes.
Yeah.
What's really cool about that, and this is kind of going, but what's really cool about that is, just like we've forgotten how to meditate, or at least most of us have, and other things that we should be doing to keep ourselves, you know, it's like if we didn't breathe, if we just kind of like did, you know, kind of didn't write that down, I mean, we wouldn't last for very long.
Yeah.
There's other things. Maybe it's like if we didn't, obviously if we didn't have sex, that would not get us very far.
Right.
But we'd make it. We'd be alive for a while. I don't know. I just feel like there's
like
things that we
or...
can, there's things that can make our life better. Right. Agriculture is a better example, because we can live on the planet Earth without agriculture. See, that's good. But like, okay, so like things like astrology, like, become really exciting, because I think that they are, you know, that's ancient, you know, I mean, that's stuff that's coming back from like, just like the tarot is like from like Egyptian times, or like, you know, this is old stuff, and it's universal, you know, you see it across, you know, in all these different cultures in different ways, but okay, so it's like, so Aries would be the head, Taurus would be the throat. Now that's already interesting, because you're talking about, well, of course, throat chakra, voice, and Taurus is at least like, well, I mean, the problem is they all, you know, you get these kind of negative, I keep looking out the window, I'm sorry, it helps me think to just kind
of, totally fine, don't worry about it,
just be out.
Also, we're on the radio, so no one knows where you're.
Well, now they know, I'm looking out the window. No, but they say, oh, stubborn, Taurus is stubborn, but it's like, that's such a negative way to look at, like, understand. I think astrology in general has taken it, it's for a very face value. What's funny is, it's like, again, voice is a very positive thing, you know, but to get down to the heart of it, it's like, okay, so you go down, like, so Scorpio would be like the phallus, and then Sagittarius is the arrow with the man on the horse, and then Capricorn would be the this strange, and I'm kind of skipping some, but the bull, or not the bull, the goat with the fish tail. Or
whatever, yeah, right? The mer goat.
But oh, okay, so what's, and then you loop back around. What's exciting about it, and a lot of the stuff that I came across with that got me really excited was this book that I read, The Salts of Salvation. So the reason I bring up the last three is because they kind of go into the story and okay. where it comes to be really exciting. So it's like, Capricorn, is the time of the new year as well, you know, and also the equinox, which all coincides with this kind of birth or rebirth or like, you know, this reoccurring cycle. And, but the Janus, like in Janus films, if you've ever seen these foreign films with, which is speaking of January, you've got these two heads facing opposite ways.
Yeah, the two-faced Roman god of war.
The two-faced Roman god of war, which also represents or could represent these two paths again, like the crossroads, which is why I kind of bring it up because it's exciting.
Yeah.
And so, what are these two paths? Well, I think these two paths are: are you going to go into the world as you have before? Maybe you haven't learned anything, and you got to keep going.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll learn this. Or are you going to make a change? Are you going to... have you learned something? Are you going to do something new?
Yeah.
And when you go back... So then if you're going... So, and what's neat about... And this could be interpreted in different ways. But if you go with Scorpio and Sagittarius, you're talking about your, the body's energy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and conserving that energy maybe. Or wasting it. So in particularly if we're talking about Scorpio, you're talking about sexual energy. So Capricorn, you got an arrow. Or not Capricorn. Sagittarius, you got the man with the arrow. And yeah. Where is he going to point the arrow? So now we're talking about where are you going to point this arrow and which way are you going to go?
Yeah.
Now, Cupid uses an arrow. And Cupid's arrow makes a baby.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you could make a baby. Or you... And that's totally fine.
People do it every day.
Or you can conserve that energy. You know, and eat and use that energy for other things, and that's fine too.
Mm.
So I, would say so. Much like Saturn eating his own children, mm-hmm. could very well be going into the idea of not eating real children, but conserving one's energy
mm-hmm.
For one's own purposes. And that arrow, I think, represents the divine aim to basically, shoot the arrow, not out to make a baby, but to send it back up through Kundalini or other forms of meditation, back up into the body.
Okay.
And that brings up the idea of, like, the Christos, the holy oil that comes from the head.
Yeah.
That goes down. So that would be the astrological path. So we go, we've brought the energy back up to the head, and now the holy oil, which is our life energy, is dripped down through the body. And it's even like, I think it's like Cancer is the builder, the body builder.
Yeah.
So Cancer is going to build more body. It's a regenerative. So it's like you may be able to live longer, even, arguably. That's where this kind of goes is like, well, or just maybe you're building that psychic energy and you can have a better life,
mm.
you know, but it's like the idea of like real, like astrology, it has to do with maybe even how to maybe use the body, but also, yeah, there's philosophy in energy and choice and all these exciting things that we should be talking about. And the equinoxes and the solstices coincide, with that, and it hasn't changed, it's reflective of the planet as well as our own bodies,
yeah.
You know, so it's all very exciting and very very insightful, you know.
I mean, all maps on to all these sort of systems tend to map onto each other in very interesting,
extraordinarily interesting ways. Because yeah. I feel like it's like I feel like that has that one story, which is in all sorts of things, you know. And people still, I mean, those symbols, I mean, they're used all over our culture. I mean, hidden in things, but it's fascinating. We don't really talk about we don't really go into what they could really mean ever. As far but oh yeah, I mean, it's just really exciting beyond belief it's very helpful that this stuff is there. Absolutely. And ready for us, and as you, to use as tools, and everything's a tool. You don't have to know how to like in meditation, you know, you can just let go, or there's all these techniques, you know, like posture, you know, hand placement, you know, and like I was talking before, is like putting your index and your thumb finger together is one of the coolest things in meditation, and that's, you know, obviously you've seen it in every Buddhist statue or whatever, but like but it closes the circuit, you know, just like your hand is like an energy portal that either creates or destroys, you know, so these are very powerful tools. So it's like, first of all, you're kind of holding that back, but also you're allowing that energy to stay within the body. And just like, so, and breathing, you know, like to maintain these higher vibrational states, theoretically, you know, breathing is key. You know, like the idea of breathing from the gut, breathing from the diaphragm. And I think if you could keep that filter on, which I tend to, sometimes I'm better at it, but if you can learn how to breathe, and also, I don't want to get too wrapped into into sex, but like in Tantra, the idea of like not ejaculating,
yeah,
is another way of holding back the energy. And what that would allow you to do, and it's the same thing with breathing. It's just the idea of like, because you know, like if you're going to have sex, and you ejaculate, you're going to be tired.
Yeah.
Just as simple as that, you know. It's like you're putting your energy somewhere. Is that where you really want to put your energy to? I don't know. I bring it up because that's this idea of like, well, you're not going to be able to maintain this higher level vibratory level if you're diffusing these energies. If you're taking really hard drugs, that you're going to come down from. Even alcohol.
Yeah.
Like if I take alcohol, I'm going to come down every day. I don't want to come down every day. I just want to be high all the time. So be healthier.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Perfect. Okay, I think that's a good place to end for now. Okay. But, like, thank you so much for talking to me about all this, and please come back on the show, like, anytime.
Okay.
Because this has been great.
And if anybody wants to check out some of my work, they can go to muckfilm.com. Muckraker Productions is my production company. I also work out of Ursa Day Parade and Rabicon Collective. But that's me, Jonathan Phelps, whatever.
I mean, I'll put up links to all that as
okay.
well, so everybody can see that.
Cool. But thank you for letting me talk, because it's helpful for me, and I'm excited to be able to get some of this stuff out there. Maybe somebody will hear it.
Big thanks to Jonathan Phelps for talking to me. If you want to check out his work, you should definitely go to muckfilm.com. Muckmaker Productions is the name of his production company. This has been Into the Dark on Radio Free Brooklyn. Thanks for listening. Check us out next month. I'm not sure who we'll be interviewing, but we will be answering a listener question about how to get rid of vermin using magic. And if you have any listener questions as a listener to the show that you want our research department to find answers for, or two, depending upon your use of English prepositions, then by all means, I adjure you to email us at intothedarkrfb@gmail.com. That's intothedarkrfb, R as in radio, F as in free, and B as in Brooklyn, because you're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn right now. And do stick around for the show after us, which is why we only listen to dead people. And if you like this radio station, you like what we do, maybe mosey on over to patreon.com/radiofreebrooklyn or to go to radiofreebrooklyn.com/pledge and throw us a few dollars, you know, because we're community radio. Thanks for listening. See you next month.